Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live, everyone. Global crypto market cap has been holding steady above $1.9 trillion over the past 24 hours. However, we've seen a little bit of a slip up for some of the major coins by market cap. Let's take a look at them. You've got a view of them here on your screen. Bitcoin right now lower to the downside by about 0.3%, sitting just below 44,000. We've also got on your screen Ether, Ethereum. That's down by 0.6% on the day's activity. Litecoin, also lower by about 1.75%. However, holding on to some gains, you've got Solana. That's in the green by about 3%. But Dogecoin, rounding out our crypto performers here on the day that we're taking a look at, and they are lower by about 0.8% from what I can see here.
Well, as Brad just mentioned, Bitcoin prices are pulling back after rallying earlier this week, and these moves are coming as scrutiny mounts around how cryptocurrencies may be used to evade sanctions. Our next guest joins us for the latest on all of these developments. Nick Day is CoinDesk Managing Editor of Global Policy and Regulation and joins us now. Nick, thanks for being with us this afternoon. I want to start off with a development on Capitol Hill today. There have been increasing concerns that Russian individuals and organizations have been using crypto to avoid sanctions placed on them by the West. And to that end, four Democratic senators, including Elizabeth Warren and Mark Warner, wrote a letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen asking whether crypto has been being used to hinder sanctions enforcement. Now, assuming the answer is yes, what are the measures that Congress or the Treasury Department could take to address this?
Hey, thank you for having me on. You know, to that question, I'm not sure we've actually seen any evidence so far that crypto is being used to evade sanctions. If you look at Bitcoin and Tether trading pairs with the ruble, it's, you know, there's been a spike, but it's not something significant. But, you know, right now, a lot of exchanges, both in the US and elsewhere, are saying that they will enforce sanctions to the best of their ability as far as they are actually, you know, required. So far, we've seen sanctions enforced against Russian banks, certain Russian oligarchs, but we have not seen any requirements that crypto exchanges or, you know, any other financial institution cut off Russian users entirely. And that's probably where the main concern might be, is if, you know, a sanctioned individual finds a way to bypass, you know, the know your customer requirements for an exchange. And should that happen, you know, Treasury Department and OFAC in particular have a number of tools, including, you know, they've been sanctioning or finding crypto exchanges and ordering platforms to shut down over failing to comply. So it's not entirely, you know, a case of this is a, you know, going to lead to a runaway effect where, you know, anarchists will bypass the financial system entirely.
And to your point about the fact that we have seen these crypto platforms like Binance, like Coinbase, saying that they will enforce sanctions to the best of their ability, but not unilaterally ban all Russian consumers. What do you think potentially went into this decision? What are the factors at play here for these platforms when we think about the enforcement, again, of these sanctions and deciding how they're going to treat their various consumers?
I think, you know, it might be one part ideological, one part technical. On the ideological front, you know, one of the ideas behind crypto is that it's accessible to anyone. And that includes, you know, if you're a Russian citizen, Russian resident, and you want to be able to either, you know, escape out of the ruble, which has had a pretty rough couple of days in terms of its value compared to the dollar. If you want to put your money someplace else into a different asset, crypto is supposed to be the one that's there, that's available for people to, you know, utilize. On the technical front, it might also just be, you know, difficult, if not impossible, to try and block every single Russian resident, every single Russian IP address. You know, you'd have to check and make sure that no one's using a VPN to, you know, mask their location. It would be a lot of work to, you know, preemptively do this. And even if the exchanges were decided that they should do this, or if they were ordered to, my guess is it would still take a little bit of time to just to set all this up in place.
And I'm wondering more broadly, too, do country-specific digital currencies also pose, in theory, a threat to sanctions enforcement, like China's digital yuan, for example? Or is there a way for regulators to have sanctions extend to these and extend to the enforcement of these as well in the future?
I think those regulations and enforcements would, you know, be the same as they are for the actual currencies that underpin these hypothetical digital currencies, right? The only way a digital yuan or a digital ruble would take off is if the actual underlying yuan or ruble also takes off as a reserve currency or as a potential reserve currency. So it would require the kind of, you know, buy-in and adoption that the dollar has from countries around the world. And so far, we haven't seen that happen. We haven't seen countries going around saying, yeah, you know, we are definitely going to switch to this alternative, you know, non-US dollar-based, non-SWIFT-based system. And so as long as, you know, that particular status quo, you know, remains unchanged, it seems difficult to see a future where central bank digital currency might, you know, usurp the dollar.
And when we just think about the price action that we've been seeing in Bitcoin over the past several days, of course, a major rally underway on Monday and Tuesday yesterday. Today, we saw prices top out at just above $45,000, now pulling back below $44,000. What do you think are the main factors at play driving Bitcoin prices? And what do you think that says about where we may be heading in the near term?
I think a lot of it is still, you know, sort of speculative. When the sanctions were first announced, people thought, okay, well, you know, we're going to have issues with growing inflation. We're going to see prices on, you know, certain goods like gas and fuel spike. We're going to see a lot of these financial factors that, you know, people are kind of looking at change. So crypto as a flight to safety has been, you know, a something that people have been looking towards. And speculative trading might have just, you know, seen folks put money into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Right now, honestly, I found out that prices were slipping when I heard on the show. So I have not been keeping up with what's happening right at this moment. But, you know, if it is speculative, it's going to be, we're going to see some volatility. And so far, you know, this has been a pretty small decline, at least as far as some of the, you know, utter falls and spikes we've seen in crypto.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Nick Day, CoinDesk Managing Editor of Global Policy and Regulation. Thank you again so much.